Welcome to part two of our conversation with Amanda Quill. Do you think that we are experiencing more evidence or more are humans experiencing more interactions with the dead now than in the past because there's that many more people actively seeking them out? I remember years ago where you talk about this and it would be rare that people would come back with anything. And it would be very like, wow, they found something after doing how many investigations. Now, I mean, it literally feels like people go out to areas that are known to be fairly haunted. They usually get something back on a regular basis. Are they becoming more open to communicating with us because there's more of us doing that? Is there something we're doing or using that is able to measure these things better than in the past? What's your thoughts on that?
In my opinion, no. I don't think that the experiences are going up. I think that the ability to speak about those experiences are going up.
Okay.
And people are telling their stories and getting them out there more. And not just to kind of take away from anyone's experience or evidence or anything like that. It's just there wasn't the ability to speak openly. Like I couldn't go to sleep last night because the ghosts in my house.
Sure.
Slamming the doors again, you would be looked at as a little poopy, right?
Yeah.
We didn't have that. I mean, I think that there's been kind of generations that have gone by since we've been able to speak openly about it. And I think that it's spoken about more. I don't think that the activity itself has gone up or down. I think it's more the ability to talk about it, in my opinion.
How do you think the physical geographic land plays into spirits being able to show themselves or us being able to communicate with them? Just like, you know, a fish needs water and it needs that to breathe and to live. You can't get it out in the middle of the desert and expect it to do anything. Are there essentially kind of like lakes and oceans, not literally water, but areas like that that are going to be more paranormally sound, if you will, than others, mm-hmm. just simply because of like the geographic makeup? Maybe it's something with the soil, the rocks, the whatever, the atmosphere, water, whatever it may be, versus others, more conducive to having an experience.
I think so. I do. I believe so. And I believe in, I mean, I'm a huge one for water flow. I grew up in Vancouver, BC. We have a lot of rain.
Sure.
A lot of rain. So I can say on from my experiences, you know, there's been a lot of more thunderstorms than heat waves that bring activity. That being said, I mean, I'm not I don't know. Like I'm not an expert in that field.
I mean, some will say like by the lake, by the water, there's more haunting. Some will say, you know, if it's on limestone,
like a
there's
river
more
that flows. Even if you've got a little creek.
Exactly. Know? Yeah,
I do. And we've actually been kind of talking about that in our house too, like of kind of creating more of that flow, let's say flow of energy throughout. Now, the house that I'm living in now, I'll be honest, like I don't believe that we're by any open water or anything, but it's probably one of the most haunted houses I've ever lived in.
Wow.
So that's interesting. We leave and we go to investigations. We were just actually up at Waverly Hills last week. And it was hot. It was so hot. It was like heat wave, heat advisory.
Yeah.
Like, don't go in here. It was horrible.
Yeah,
but not a lot of activity. And someone said to me, do you think that we need a colder, if we came here in colder months, that it would create more activity?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, did that make sense? But then colder months brings darkness, brings more wind, brings more, you know, there's both sides of it.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because I just think with humans in general, the colder months, it's darker. I think your overall mm-hmm. level of positivity goes way down in those months and
right.
seasonal depression and things of that nature. I think that, you know, overall, just the if you're to like kind of take a temperature of the mood of society, yeah, winter is going to have more of a negative connotation to it than in summer, where people are kind of up, the sunshine, they're feeling good. That in itself, just that extra veil or shadow over things, does make sense.
So like if Halloween was on May 31st and not October 31st. Right.
There'd be a lot more like real cute characters. There'd be a lot more like crayons and lions and kittens, and less, serial killers that are being dressed up as. Well, there's an idea. I should do some serial killers for Halloween. That would be fun. Name that serial killer. Yeah. But it is interesting to think about all those different things that influence it. I mean, one silly thing that just kind of came to my mind when we were talking about bodies of water or natural bodies of water. How about a old home or that's sitting right next to a wastewater treatment plant? Now, it's a body of water, technically, and just when you think of real negative type haintings and things of that nature, people will say they smell
so many demons. Yes. It would be like a demon factory.
But that is a negative thing. You know, it's waste. I mean, would that be something that would be a conduit to attract negative things, just as a negative person would as well? I don't know. It's just one of those random things that came through my mind. Let's talk about this. You had touched on it a little bit earlier. The house that you live in, you said it's the most haunted that you've ever been in. Tell me how this began. When you bought the house, did you know it was haunted? Did you have a feeling? Walk me through that a little bit and how you discovered that.
So, no, we didn't. And my partner is very, 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 very well versed in the world of the paranormal.
Yeah.
And this is the first house that we ever lived in together. Mm-hmm. Now, when we first moved in here, it was funny because he would he would hide in the closet and jump out. He would do like the funny kind of, you know, cute things. And then so whenever I would feel that person coming up behind me, I would just think it was him. Mm-hmm. So I would be standing in the living room and just feel that kind of energy, and it's like right behind you, looking over your shoulder. You can almost feel its breath. And I would turn around like, aha, try to get him, like, with my ninja ways. And there'd be no one there. And I did this for a few weeks, and there was just so many times that I was like, okay, well, you don't want to be the person that goes up and says, okay, like, I think this place is haunted, and there's too many ghosts here.
Yeah.
Let's move. Like, you know, we go out to find the ghosts. We don't need to come home to them.
Sure, sure.
And then it was, he actually came to me and said, so I was lying in bed the other day and I heard these voices. And I was like, yes. So I love bubble baths, and we have a great big bath, and I spend way too much time in there with my bubbles and my phone playing my little games. And when I'm doing that, I can hear him snoring. I can hear him sleeping in the room next door. But then I can also hear this conversation. And usually it's two men or a man and a woman. And you can never quite hear what they're saying. It's like a murmur. And it's a little bit further away. But I was like, oh my goodness. So I never said anything until he said it. And then he said, and sometimes it's like the door's opening. And I was like, yes. When I'm sitting in that bath, I can see the door handle turning, and I can hear the clunk, 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 clunk. And it's like, ah.
Yeah.
So it's absolutely fascinating. We've heard a woman singing here. We've seen people walk by our windows. And where we are is we have a good space between our neighbors and I. Like, it's not like our neighbors are walking through our yard. Like, we would very well be able to notice that. We have two dogs. One was a year and a half when we got here, and the other one was like 7 weeks old. Now, the little girl that's 7 weeks old, she doesn't bark at anything. Like, she will look up at something that's in the room with her and wag her tail and kind of like jump up to say hi. Mm-hmm. The other one will like growl and look behind you like there's something else walking into the room. So it's just things that we just we started to kind of take note of. We've heard children playing in one of the far rooms. We've heard like laughter. We've heard, like, it's absolutely nuts. We've heard people walking up our back steps, and then we hear a door slam, but it's on the other side of the house in the back where there's no door. So we don't know what it is. Like, there's no, when we look at the records of the house, where we look at the records of the place that we're in, it doesn't, like, there's nothing that kind of lends itself to this house being haunted.
Sure.
We spoke to people that lived here before. Nope, nothing. So we did even look into, like, is it me? Is it him?
Yeah.
Is it something that we're bringing back? Nope. There's no change, but the activity goes up and down, but it doesn't change. It's always the man and woman talking, or it's the two men talking. It's the someone trying to come into rooms. It's the doorknobs. This is going to sound absolutely nuts, but we actually got locked out of our house once, where you can only lock the door if you have a key from the outside or from the inside.
Sure.
We got completely locked out of the house, and we're like, okay. And this is like, there was no dogs there to, you know,
yeah,
let the dogs do it. So it's just really, really odd. And yeah, we go to investigations to get a break now.
Sure. And you go back to home, and it's peace, and it's more haunted, yeah, than the investigation.
Wow. Yeah. So we did the whole thing where every night we went to bed. No, you're not allowed to wake us up, and you're not, you know, we did all the things that you need to do. And then they just kind of, every so often, they just got to let loose a little bit and let themselves know that they're,
sure,
here.
Sure. Do you,
very odd.
It is very odd. And it kind of leads me to this question about, you guys having these experiences, the others who've had the home, not so much. Mm-hmm. Is seeing ghosts and experiencing ghosts influenced by an individual's belief system? Meaning, is your belief system just more conducive to then having these experiences where maybe the previous people was not?
Right. And I think about that too. Like, is it because we believe in ghosts that ghosts are going to be here? Whereas if it, you know... But we're both pretty logical in the, okay, is this a woodpecker? Is this a squirrel?
Sure.
You know, we've gone through all the different, you know, at some point you have to kind of relax and just enjoy what you have. But I think, yes, like, I think if we're a little bit more paranoid, we would think that it's like people around the neighborhood, or it's, you know,
yeah,
hey, it could be aliens, right? And I think a lot of hauntings or a lot of any paranormal activity does come directly from your belief system. So yes and no. So there, take that answer.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially, and this is something that I wonder about, and it's a silly question, but it's a legitimate one, is, you know, people who will walk around and sage a house or something of that nature. And I believe it works for many people. Because they're believing in the act of what they're doing, and that, yes, seems to be going well. But then I also question, why sage? What is it about? Is it about sage? Could I be doing this with stevia leaves? Could I be doing this with catnip? You know, and if my intention is the same, does it matter what I'm burning? Is it, or is there some influence with the, I don't know, the custom of using that specific plant in an act like that?
I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head with that. Honestly, it is the belief system, because I will say 99.89% of people are not staging properly and are not using the plant properly and are not using the tradition or the ceremony properly at all. Yet it works for everyone.
Yeah.
So... not to take that away from people.
Sure.
Not to take that away, because, I mean, like, sage 100% will mute everything. And it is a powerful, powerful medicine. But we're not using it right. I'm pretty traditional. I come from a traditional family,
yeah,
and ceremony is huge for us.
Sure.
But that cleansing of the house, I think, is so... The power is in the belief system. The power is in, like, taking, reclaiming that back. And I think that, hey, I mean, I'm not going to tell people to stop doing what they're doing, because if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Do it, you know?
What would you say people are doing wrong in the process from your observations?
I would say right from the start, sage is like, it's a lot of it is from the intent, right? So you should never be buying sage.
Okay.
Ever. Sage should not be bought. Like, the intent from that goes from greed and everything. It's not traditional. It's like,
so
it's,
you shouldn't get your smudge. You shouldn't get your smudge sticks at Whole Foods.
No. It is very much something that, it should be gifted to you.
Okay.
So, if you want to take that back and get someone else to buy it for you and gift it to you, hey. Whatever. I'm not going to say anything. It needs to be lit from another thing. So never light your sage with a lighter.
Okay.
It should always be used. Like, I mean, these are just things that are traditional. And if we are going to go to the traditions that we're using sage for, then heck, why not?
Why not do it? Yeah. Why not follow the recipe?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, sage is huge. It's a very, female orientated. So if you're working with male spirits, you're going to want to get some sweetgrass in there.
Okay.
So there's a few different things. This is where it gets a little tricky for me, because traditionally we're not supposed to speak of these things.
Okay.
Even though it's an oral tradition, right? It's very powerful. It's very powerful, but it's powerful within our own beings. It's very much us reclaiming our house. It's the exact same thing as when you turn around and say, hey, ghost, you're not welcome here.
Yeah.
Reclaiming your space. Like, I think that it's misused, but you know what? It's doing its job. So, hey.
As long as the intent is there, and you can't just be like, well, I got sage in the house, or I got a sage glade plug-in, that's not going to have the same effect, you know, or is making stuffing every day of the week with a lot of sage. Like, this is delicious sausage stuffing, and it should keep the spirits away as well. But you need to actually have the intent. Interesting. Intent, I like discussing that one, because everyone has kind of a different thought process on that.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's great that it's out there, but it's the same thing. When I say, like, the whole buying of the sage, that's a huge one, because it's even when you look at, as I call them, plastic shamans. If you look at that, like, these are not traditional teachings. So as long as you're claiming it as your own and you're going to do it as your own, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. As soon as you put it onto a culture that's not even allowed to celebrate themselves, there's a problem, right? So the intent is what is important.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Amanda Quill. A big thank you to her for joining us and sharing her experiences with us on today's episode of the program. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.